And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein. Well, Brian Douglas and With Dornan were a young Juno couple with a passion for community service, a legacy that lives on long after they were unfortunately killed in a car crash in 1993. Since the Douglas Dornan Foundation was established in their memory, it has given out more than $500,000 in charitable donations, with grants that range anywhere from $300 to $3,000. Brian's father, Paul Douglas, is here with us today to talk about the foundation he created, along with Marcy Larson, who's a co-founder of Alaskan Brewing and also is one of the people that advises the fund. And they now administer the fund through the Juno Community Foundation. Paul and Marcy, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Yeah, good to see you on Zoom and to talk to you via Zoom as well. Tell me a little bit about Paul. I just maybe first off, for folks who, I mean, it's 29 years now. Maybe you can start off just by telling us a little bit about your son Brian and his wife.
Okay. Well, they came here to Juno in late in 1990. Brian came here to go to work at the Alaskan Brewing Company, and With was very much involved in a pre-development program at, I think, sponsored by the CBJ, working with Walt Chapman and working with young kids. And she was also very active in Alaska AEYC, Education of Young Children organization. Brian was instrumental in forming a frisbee league in town and a home brewers club. And they were both very active in the short number of years that they were here, got involved in a lot of different things.
I think I probably played a little ultimate frisbee with them back in the early 90s then.
I bet
remember
you did.
That league. Okay, I remember that. Marcy, I know that Brian was instrumental in the early years at Alaskan Brewing Company as well.
Absolutely. Yes, he came to us from Siebel Brewing School. Jeff had gone to school there and had talked to a number of professors and talked about Brian and all the talent that he had. And so we were able to talk them into coming up and living in Juneau and working at Alaskan Brewing Company and helping us formulate a number of our beers. He was just a passionate, wonderful brewer. Loved brewing, loved all the different flavors and new things that you could do with different brews, and full of energy.
Yeah.
Both of them were very full of energy. It was great.
Well, and obviously such a tragic event to have young people full of potential and energy and great ideas and commitment to community to pass away at such an early age. But from that came this fund. So tell me a little bit about the idea behind the formation of the fund, the dollar amounts that were given, the types of organizations that the fund looks to help fund.
Okay. The goal of the fund is to support nonprofit organizations that are focused on enhancing the health, education, and welfare of individuals living in Southeast Alaska, all the way from very young people to seniors and persons with disabilities and whatever, at any rate. And we started the fund. We received some contributions when Brian and With passed away. And we didn't know we just said, why not start a foundation to honor the kinds of work that they were involved with when they were living here in Juno. And so that's how we got it started.
Yeah.
And it's just going on and on and on for years now.
It's quite
amazing. I was going to say, I saw 110 different organizations through the years. Again, over $525,000 of funds. It's an incredible accomplishment, and of course, a diligence to carry it out for 29 years now. When did it go over to the Juno Community Foundation? When did that kind of get
That happened in 2009. Up to that point, we started in our first grant we made in 1994, and we managed, we primarily, my deceased wife and I, managed the fund along with the with parents for the first few years. And Juno Community Foundation was just cranking up and getting started at that same point in time. And I was a, it took me a while to be convinced that that was the right way to go. And it was, it's been a good move, really, because it takes some of the load of managing all the paperwork and the government folder all one has to go through off of our shoulders, and allows us to focus on organizing and getting grant applications in here and reviewing them and making awards.
Yeah, I can see where that some of, you know, just dealing with some of that overhead is you know, could definitely be a relief. But also, I think, you know, contribute to the idea of the longevity of the fund, that it, you know, is just going to, that you know, that I'm sure that was part of working through with the JCF, right?
Exactly.
Like figuring out how that's going to continue to go, the principles by which you want to grant these to the grantees, that sort of thing. Marcy, what are some of the things when you think back in the time that you've been involved in the funding, what are some of the standout fund applications, grantees? What are some of the programs that you feel like the fund had an important part of nurturing?
It's been amazing to be a member of the board. I was honored to be asked to join and help with the dissemination of these funds each year and think about what Brian and Wiss, because we knew them so well, what they would really be wanting to see happen. And they were amazing people, very inspirational and very full of good ideas and sharing and caring. And so many things have come through over the years that have been really, really good and so varied. And that's exactly what Brian and Wiss were. They were foster parents. They were trail runners. They were into youth. They were into art. I mean, there were so many different things. So just trying to sort through all of these requests that we get, and some of them are just really simple. Like, for instance, the Juno Youth Sailing Program just needed wetsuits, you know, so to run that, or their outboards maintenance or something, you know, something very direct, positive energy to keep a good program running. The JAM program, as far as the music that the kids are doing in the schools and all of that, being able to contribute a big part of that has been huge. And seeing the benefits of it is so rewarding.
It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, because when you look at the types of grants you're doing, you're not doing million-dollar grants. You're not doing these gigantic grants. They're small amounts, but they're so localized and so focused that they end up really having an impact.
Yeah.
I think that's the real advantage of we're a relatively small foundation, but we're able to ferret out and then identify some of these needs and meet or help them, the organizations, meet their needs more easily than a larger funder situation can do.
Yeah. Are you soliciting applications right now? Is this the period where you're soliciting applications?
That's why we're here.
All
actually.
Right.
Yes,
I had a feeling.
This is the time period right now.
I mean,
now.
It's nice to talk to you two, but I figured there was.
Right. We accept applications right now all the way up until June 1st. So it's only a month and a half out. So folks that are looking for specific things that they feel would help their programs, now is the time to get those applications in, and it has to be postmarked by June 1st. So time is coming.
Do you have any guidance for people as applicants, things that they might want to include, the angles they might want to take, specificity, or how the application is presented, things like that, that through the years you've noted are, you know, can make effective applications?
Well, we have a standard application that's on file. You can be could call it up on the Juno Community Foundation website, junocf.org, and dig around and find the Douglas Dornan Foundation.
We'll also link to that on our page here as well.
Right.
The folks look up this interview. Yeah. Yep.
And I get some phone calls with questions and inquiries and about how to formulate their application or what to focus on. And in fact, I had two calls yesterday from a brand new applicant. You know, what the organization isn't new, but the person writing the grant application was brand new. And so, I helped them walk through and show them what to focus and that kind of thing.
Do you do that? I mean, you make yourself available as much as possible to folks that are looking to make applications. Is that something that the kind of advisory board works through, or how do you divide up that duty?
Mostly, I stick my name out there, my name and phone number, and say you're welcome to give me a call anytime. And my name is Paul Douglas, and the telephone number is 907-209-3706.
All right. Okay.
And well, I would just also, Andy, would also just add that, you were asking about things that really make us tick, or what we key into. And I would think that I would say that one of the things is we don't have a lot of money, but if there's a specific thing that can support a number of people or affect positively a number of people, that's going to go further than something that's only going to affect two people. You see what I'm saying?
So
we're looking for the greater good wherever we can. And things like the jam program with the music for all of the kids for a large number. Those are the keys.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. And the organizations I've been in that do that, some Coastal Code, for instance, through the Alaskan Brewing mm-hmm. Company, when a grant application comes in and it has a defined benefit, it can really be, have some specifics about what they're looking to do, what they're specifically looking to spend the money on, the amount of time, the amount of people affected, that sort of thing. Seems to really hit home.
Well, one of the things we like to do when it's appropriate, and isn't in all cases, but we like to, if there's an opportunity, to offer matching funds. If the organization can come up with X amount of dollars, we'll match it. And so they can get double for their...
goes further that way.
Double dose for the money, and we kind of encourage that. It's not a mandate, but it's where we think it's appropriate, we sort of suggest that, and it's been very successful.
Yeah, and I'm sure through the many years that you've been here and working on this, you've got lots of connections and ideas for people about where they might go for some of that matching funds. Yeah, that's terrific. I mean, what a resource, really. Well, it's fascinating. Maybe just one more time for folks that are interested in this or maybe be considering this, just some of the details about how they can find out more about it and where they go to get that information.
Well, the best source would be to go to the Juno Community Foundation website, junocf.org, and look up the Douglas Dornan Foundation. And there's some further information there, and they can get an application there. And above and beyond that, if they have questions or want some better or additional direction, they can call me, Paul Douglas, at the number I gave, 907-209-3706. And we'll be happy to hold their hand and help them out as best we can.
Great. Well, Paul Douglas and Marcy Larson, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to see you and great to talk to you. And what a beautiful way to remember loved ones who were tragically taken too soon. But under the circumstances, what a great way to remember people and make a positive influence to the community that they loved. So thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Great talking to you.